Ksuvos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Gimel 4:3. The topic of this Mishnah is the rather extraordinary case of the Motzi Shemra, of the man who claims that his wife had an affair with another man after they already had the first step of marriage, legal marriage, Erusin. And in the event that it's true she was a Basula and a Na'ara, and she was Mu'urasa, she was a virgin girl who was in the Na'ara stage of her life and was indeed legally married to this man, so then there is an extraordinary penalty which she faces. So now to understand, and if it's not true, by the way, if it's not true and he was lying, so then he faces not just lashes, the usual malchus that a person gets for doing Isra Daraisa, and but also he pays a severe penalty, a kanas, the largest in the Torah, of 100 shekels, or 100 sela, as the Mishnah calls them, which is the largest kanas in the Torah. Now, to understand the significance of the Mishnah, you have to understand the background regarding the penalties for adultery. So, first of all, adultery is a capital crime, meaning that it carries with it a death penalty, according to the Torah. Of course, like all punishments meted out according to the Torah, it would always require edim and hasra, meaning two witnesses who warned the wrongdoers prior to their act and said, "We're watching, don't do that. If you do that, the consequences will be execution." And the wrongdoers acknowledge that warning and they say, "Even so, we're going ahead." In such a scenario, which of course is in practice therefore rather unlikely, but in such a scenario where they were brazen and wantonly proceeded after being warned, two witnesses would then testify before the courts, and then the punishment would be meted out. In the case here, when it comes to adultery, a married woman having an affair with another man, the penalty under normal circumstances is chenek, meaning of the four different ways in which the Beis Din might carry out execution, the least severe of the four is called chenek, strangulation, which involves like wrapping a silk, kind of like, think of like a tie maybe, around the sash, around the person's neck, and they pull from both directions, cutting off the air supply to the brain, and then a person, you know, goes black and suffocates and dies. Well, that's pretty terrible, and Rahman Atzlan, no, it's awful. It's the least severe and the least horrible of the four modes by which the courts can execute. That's what we paskin. It's both pretty quick and relatively painless, and also leaves the body sort of, you know, unmutilated. The most severe form of execution, how we paskin, is called skila. Skila is stoning. It involves the wrongdoer being essentially thrown off the roof, and then, assuming they survive the fall, then getting pelted with stones till they die. That's, of course, slow, painful, really miserable, and leaves the body afterwards mutilated. So that's the worst of the ways in which a person could be executed by the Beis Din. Now, for generic adultery, normally that means if a woman is married, and marriage, of course, don't forget, means already from Erusin, from when she accepts the Kesef, Shtar, Bia, whatever, she accepts to get married, so now she is married to that man, even if they're not functionally married, she hasn't moved in with him, she's still living in her father's home, but they're legally married. If someone would sleep with her, so that's called the Eishas Ish, that's the prohibition of adultery, and the penalty is a capital crime, it's execution. Normally, the penalty is chenek, strangulation. There are a couple exceptions, though, and the exception of our Mishnah here is this exception of the woman who meets those three criteria. She's a Na'ara, meaning she's between 12 and 12 and a half. She's a Basula, there with the man before, and she's Mu'urasa, she's engaged, let's call it, right? She's already legally married, but she's to this man, but she hasn't moved in with him yet. She's still living in her father's home. If she would be, let's say, for example, a Katana, so then she wouldn't be punished at all. But in all of it, just the man with whom she slept would be punished. He'd be executed. In all these cases, both he and she both are executed. If she is, you know, older than 12, etc., bas mitzvah. But the point here is that in the unusual case of the Basula Na'ara Mu'urasa, so then instead of getting chenek, she and he will get skila, stoning. In addition, the parsha of the Motzi Shem Ra, this weird case where the husband is alleging that his wife was adulterous before they got married, while they were legally married through Erusin, but not functionally married through a Nisuin. So that also has the additional element of that the stoning doesn't happen where stonings usually happen. When the Bezdin carries out a skila, a stoning, it's done in the base of skila, in the special designated place that's set up for carrying that out. But the Torah prescribes that if the girl had been living with her, like in her father's home at the time, when it happened, so then it should be done she was young. We're talking when she was like a Nara. So then it's done at the Pesach Beis Aviyah at like her father's doorstep in front of his home. And that's where the execution happens. And if there isn't a possibility of doing it in front of the father's home where she's older already, she's already like 13, whatever it is, 12 and a half, Bogeris. So then when this happens, that they punish her. The actual infidelity happened when she was a Nara, but it's brought to Bezid and so on afterwards. So then it will be done in the Shara, in the entrance to the city, as a public display, but not specifically in front of her father's home. Okay? So that's the backstory of our Mishnah. Now, our Mishnah is going to talk about three cases, all of which have to do with a scenario in which a girl who was the adulterous girl, her mother started out not being Jewish and then converted. But although we're going to start talking about the mother here, the mother's not really important at all to the story. It's all about the daughter. The thing is that the verses in the Motzi Shem Ra Parsha refer to Nevala B'Yisrael, like a shaming, a disaster, a disgrace in the Jewish line. And therefore, there'll be scenarios where if this girl didn't start out being Jewish, we'll see in the Mishnah, so then she'll be exempt from the more severe skila punishment and just be on the hook for the more generic chenek punishment. Also, we'll see that since we need to talk about the father's home, if she was conceived while her mother wasn't Jewish, so then there's no yichus, there's no like attribution in terms of lineage, such a scenario to her father, like her biological father. She doesn't have a halachic father, and therefore, since there's no halachic father, there won't be this issue of the father's home, because there is no father's home, so to speak. So, therefore, we have three cases of just depending on when the mother's conversion happened relative to when the daughter was born, the daughter who is now the adulterous girl. So the first case is Hagioris. The mother is a convert. Shnizgaira bita ima. That when she converted, her daughter had already been born, and her daughter, who becomes the adulteress, she converts also. That means the daughter started out not being Jewish. And that being the case, vizinta, if such a girl is indeed adulterous, so then her penalty under all scenarios, even if she ticks the three boxes of being a basula murasa, anara basula murasa, even so, harezu b'chenek, her punishment is the generic case of chenek, strangulation. She doesn't get the extraordinary skila, stoning death. Ein la lo pesach beis ha'av, nothing happens in front of her would-be father's house. She has no halachic father, since when she was born and when she was conceived, her mother wasn't Jewish. V'lo me'as sela, and also she's not eligible for the 100 sela, which is the 100 shekel motzi shemra payment. Again, the verses say ki hotzi shemra al b'sulas Yisrael. That extra word Yisrael is coming to tell us that it's specifically a girl, Mizrei Yisrael, with like Jewish lineage, and not a girl like our scenario hero, who's a convert. Okay? Fine. Now, the second case is Haisa Horasa Shalo B'Kedusha, V'Leidasa B'Kedusha. Case number two is the girl in question, she was conceived Shalo B'Kedusha, when her mother was not yet Jewish. But then the mother converts being Jewish while she's pregnant. V'Leidasa B'Kedusha, and when this girl who becomes the adulteress is born, her mother is already Jewish, which means that she was born a full-blown Jew. The problem is she's not mityacheset, she's not like connected back in terms of her pedigree to her biological father, because at the time of her conception, her mother wasn't Jewish. So therefore there's no father in the picture, legally. And that being the case, Harezu b'skila, if such a girl who was born Jewish ticks the three boxes of being a Nara, Basula, Morasa, all three of those things, so then she will have Skila as opposed to Chenek, as will the man with whom she slept. But Ein la lo Pesach Beisav, but there's no application of this idea of doing the Skila, the execution, by stoning in front of her father's house, because there's no father in the picture, so it'll be done back at the Shara Ir, the town's gate. V'lo Me'asela, and also she will not be entitled to this 100 sela kanas fine, because she's excluded from the verse. Now the truth is actually, their derivation of that is fairly technical. I will just explicate it here very briefly, but just don't get lost in the weeds. The reason why she gets skila is because although the pasuk says ki asa nevala b'Yisrael, this was done in the Jewish line, and this woman is not like totally really Zer Yisrael because she was conceived not as a Jew, so that's a compromise. But there's an extra word. The pasuk says usaklu anshe ira ba'avanim v'meisa, and she dies. And that extra word v'meisa is extra to tell you there's another girl who's dying besides for the usual case, and that's our case of our Mishnah, that the death is carried out through skila, through stoning, if she was born Jewish, even if she was conceived not Jewish. But that's an extra limud to tell you that such a girl does get skila as opposed to chenek. However, that doesn't, we're talking, this all happening in the parsha, the topic of the Motzi Shemra, and since that word v'meisa, her execution, does come to say that such a girl would be executed by skila instead of chenek, it doesn't add the fact, bring back a girl who's not conceived as a Jew to being entitled to the hundred shekel or 100 sela payment, as the Mishnah calls it, because the verse says Kihotzi Shemra al Besulas Yisrael, and she's not pure Yisrael, as much as when she was conceived she wasn't a Yisrael. Okay, fine. The third case is Haisa Horasa Vledasa Bekedusha. She was conceived and born Bekedusha, which means her mother converted, and after the mother was a Jew, Ish woman, then she actually married some other Jewish guy and they had a child. The point is, the mother happened to be a convert, but so what? When the girl was conceived and all the more so born, already her mother was Jewish. So now she's a full-blown Jew in every sense. That's what the Mishnah says here. Hari kavas Yisrael l'chol davar. She's included in the expression of a bas Yisrael. She's a bas Yisrael, a Jewish girl, in all matters. Meaning, in the context here, certainly she would be entitled to 100 her 100 shekel payment if there was Motzi Shemra against her. If she was indeed infidelitous, she'd have to get skila and it would be done in front of her father's home. Now, the Mishnah talks about the father's home part of things. Yesh la'av, of course, she needs to have a father. But if she has a father, ve'ein la pesach be'sa'av, but the father hasn't got a home to speak of in front of which we could do the skila. In other words, let's say this is a homeless man. So she has a father, but he's doesn't got a home. Or yesh la pesach be'sa'av, or her father has a home, but the problem is ve'ein la'av, but the father's no longer alive. So it is her father's house, and maybe it happened when the time she was infidelitous, she was living with her father in that house, but now that we're actually doing the execution, no father anymore. So that in both those cases, since either there's no father or no house, we can't do the execution in front of what would be called the father's house. So then, harezu b'skila, she still gets skila. The fact that we haven't got a father's house doesn't stop the skila from happening, she's still executed in that unusual way, but it's just done at the Shara'ir in the city gate. Lo ne'amar Pesach Beis Avia El La Mitzvah. This obligation to do it in front of her father's home is only like an additional requirement as applicable for the mitzvah. But if it's not applicable for some reason, that doesn't mean it's ma'akev. It doesn't mean you can't do the skila in general. This girl still gets the extraordinary punishment of skila because she did something extraordinary, being that she was a Nara Basula Morasa.